make it whole again. I believe we can make it whole.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. A pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on promoting the earth, telling where we're gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry for the children.
We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein, and this is Ecologic for June 24th, 2022.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Since 2002, Ecologic has been bringing you shows on the science of climate and weather. In 2015, Ecologic did a show about Superstorm Sandy. Ecologic and the Environment TV recorded an interview right after that show with meteorologist Tom Weissmuller. You will hear Hurricane Patricia mentioned. It is one of the worst hurricanes ever and had just hit Mexico. Tom explained how it had changed weather in the Northeast.
Hear the interview with Ken Gale and Tom Weissmuller that was never broadcast on WBAI. Until today, learn about how hurricanes form in the first place.
Regular WBAI listeners may remember Tom's annual shows predicting that winter's weather. Tom was always right, except for 1 month out of 8 years. Tom changed his climate views, but he was still a good guy. R.I.P. Tom. There are WBAI shows that have climate deniers on them, but Ecologic is not one of them if we can help it.
Here's the interview.
And why was Hurricane Sandy so different? You know, we talked about it being weird. So what's going on?
Well, let's start at the beginning. Hurricanes form when the zone, a wind zone of Earth called the Intertropical Convergence Zone, moves northward. Now, I'm talking about northern hemisphere hurricanes. And what happens is that the trade winds blow from east to west in the northern hemisphere and the southern. They're basically... the equator is turning underneath the trade winds, underneath the Earth's atmosphere. So the wind is always out of the east. But toward the end of the summer, the zone of that convergence drifts northward, and you get twists and eddies into that zone. And if you happen to have or be lucky enough to have a thunderstorm over the Atlantic, it develops that twist, and that twist becomes a tropical low, and then it gets larger and larger, and it feeds on itself, because hurricanes take the evaporated moisture that they get off the ocean and convert it into heat, and it fuels the hurricane. They're actually one of the great heat transfer mechanisms on the planet, because what they do is they take tropical heat from the tropical oceans and literally put it into their system. And then the hurricane, when it moves north, releases that heat further north, 40, 50, 60 degrees even. So that's how hurricanes form. He asked another question. What made Sandy different, or what made it big? Sandy got lucky, all right? Lucky. When a hurricane gets big, they get, I call them lucky, okay? It happened to stay away from land. When a hurricane moves over land, the moisture that it depends on for its life is taken away, or part of it is taken away. Sandy stayed over the open ocean. Not only did it stay over the open ocean, it stayed over a warm finger of the Gulf Stream, which was literally right under it. So now you had warm water fueling this hurricane. It got larger and larger and larger. Larger, I'm talking about in diameter, not in wind speed. The hurricanes have higher winds when they are actually smaller and more tightly wrapped. Sandy was huge, and it covered thousands of miles, the cloud shield of Sandy. The eye wall was very, very large, so the wind speed wasn't that great. It got up to Category 2 over the open ocean. Sandy was great because every meteorologist got it right. Every meteorologist, the National Weather Service, everyone knew where that hurricane was going. Usually hurricanes are very hard to predict. Even from day to day, they can't figure it out.
Why?
Because the winds themselves will steer the hurricane. The ocean currents, the differential in temperature will make it move. Lots of things can make a hurricane move, but Sandy got lucky. Sandy was barreling into a large high-pressure zone that was centered actually over Quebec. And the wind circling around that high, it circles clockwise. On the northern part of this high-pressure zone, you had the polar jet literally speeding that high up. It actually made it a stronger high because the 300-mile-an-hour winds of the jet stream pushed the northern part of that high into a higher wind, and it curved around. And when Sandy got into it, it got punched into.
So, well, you're talking about a high pressure in Quebec.
Right.
And Sandy is down in the Caribbean.
Right.
So we are talking 1,500 miles apart.
No. In the Caribbean, Sandy was just moving north, like all hurricanes do. That wasn't the problem. It was when it got off the coast of North Carolina, it began to feel the influence of that high, which basically was a wind pushing off the sea that was augmented by that jet stream on the northern end of that high. So when it was heading toward New York, it never had a chance to get to New York. It got punched into Toms River, New Jersey, and we knew that track about 2 days before it happened. It was great. You know, weather guys like to be correct once in a while. And this time they looked really good. Now, I know I was on a radio with you a couple of times during Sandy.
Yes, that was great.
And I had access to the radars. So I knew exactly where the storm was. I could tell people where to evacuate from, and we did. If we saved any people, did they ever call in and thank you? I don't know.
They did.
Good. Okay. Because we really gave them good advice. And I think I was within 4 or 5 miles an hour of gauging the top wind speed when it hit landfall, which was 115 miles an hour. And that was because the hurricane moving in toward Toms River, moving from east to west, if you were on the northern end of the hurricane, you had regular 85-mile-an-hour winds, which was basically made it a Cat 1 hurricane, augmented by the forward speed of the hurricane. That's where you got the 115 miles an hour punch. And of course, that same direction pushed water into New York Harbor, flooded, as you said in your earlier broadcast, and it made an exciting storm. And it was quite an event. The hurricane that we had, Patricia, off of Mexico, was a unique storm. Now, Sandy was unique too because it was so large. Patricia was unique because it was so small. In other words, it had a very tight eye wall with very, very high winds.
Well, that's why it was 160 miles an hour.
No, it was 200 miles an hour. In fact, there were reports of gusts 245 over the open ocean. And can you imagine what it's like to be on the open ocean during Patricia with 200 mile an hour winds, kicking the waves back and forth. If you're in a small boat and you happen to be unlucky enough to have two waves crash on you from different directions, all of a sudden you find yourself 40 feet underwater. You're gone. I mean, there is no more horrible place to be on Earth. Maybe inside a volcano would be worse. But other than that, on the open ocean in a 200-mile-an-hour hurricane. Now, what that does, the hurricane, usually the way we get moisture in the air, sunlight hits the open ocean, you get evaporation, and that's how we get moisture in the air, which is very nice. Hurricanes do it differently. Hurricanes, because of those high winds, they literally take the kinetic energy of the hurricane and basically brutally roil the oceans and punch these water molecules, add that energy to the water molecules, and then bang, they become water vapor. All right, so they condense it, and they get sucked in. They get to very high altitudes.
Clouds are made of water vapor.
And that's right. And well, when the clouds condense, then the heat and kinetic energy that allowed that water to evaporate into water vapor then gets released into the surrounding air. Now, if you take a look at the IntelliCast website today, the entire eastern United States is under the remnants of this cloud shield that hurricane produced. Everywhere except New York and New England. So the entire East Coast is now basically benefiting, if you want to use that word, from the water that was kicked into water vapor off the coast of Mexico, is now condensing out, becoming rain, falling as rain, and when it condenses, it's called latent heat of condensation. That heat is then released into the atmosphere, and that's how you get the heat transfer from the tropics to temperate zones, where we are right now. So the entire East Coast is going to be having a warm, gentle rain because it covers about 1,000 square miles of just pure rain. So if there was a drought before in this part of the country, forget it. It's going to get nice and wet, and that heat is going to be released into this part of the world. In fact, that heat is going to go north and further north. It's probably going to go over Greenland. And I don't know if you noticed the New York Times.
What will it do in Greenland?
It's going to fall as snow. Uh-huh. Because there's moisture content when it falls into cold air, falls as snow. It's going to replenish a lot of the water that was lost this summer. We had about a two-month period. We had temperatures actually getting into the 40s in Greenland. And the New York Times, they have a very, very neat article about Greenland, about some researchers looking at the moulins and sending drones over Greenland.
And the moulins are the waterfalls within the...
Yes, pressure. And they fall within the ice cap. They go down under. They end up in the ocean. But they only last for about a month or two, because once it gets 30 below zero, 40 below zero, they all freeze. All right? But now you've got this moisture packet coming up there from this hurricane. Most likely, I'm going to be watching the world radar eagerly for the next couple of days, seeing how this moisture packet moves north. It's going to go in the Canadian Maritimes and very likely hit Greenland with a lot of snow. And you'll be measuring the snow there by the meter, not by the foot.
Now, you had mentioned that it was warm air going up toward Greenland and going from Mexico across the U.S. and Canada to Greenland. Now, if it's warm air, is that going to mean, because it's snow in Greenland, but what is it in between? Is that going to make more snow or melt the snow that's already there? Because late October, you get snow in northern Canada.
Now, it won't melt the snow in Greenland because it's already too cold up there.
Northern Canada.
Yeah, northern Canada. Actually, northern Canada got some early snow this year. And I'm going to talk about that when we do our annual forecast. Warm air can hold more moisture.
Yeah.
And as it moves further north, it gets cooler and cooler and cooler until finally it gets below freezing. But that moisture is still there, and that moisture will then precipitate out as snow. Now, Sandy, again, was a beautiful, easy-to-predict storm for where it was going to go. I think it changed the way people in New York thought about hurricanes. We've had a lot of hurricanes here. The hurricane of 38, when it marched across Long Island and punched into Providence, Rhode Island, again, it also pushed a huge wall of water into Narragansett Bay.
There must have been a hell of a hurricane, because
The 38 storm, you mean?
Yeah, because when Catherine Miles was interviewing various people in the Weather Service, a lot of them keep mentioning the hurricane of 38.
Yeah.
And these people weren't alive at the time, but they know about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, Providence, Rhode Island, there are buildings there that show watermarks 20 feet higher than the sea level there. 20 feet higher. That's huge. Now, why did New York think it was exempt? All right? So, within a week after Sandy, the city of New York started revising its disaster plans and then declared that 25 feet would be a 500-year storm level, something that they should have planned for a little bit earlier because they could have protected those subways and the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. Just a little extra forethought would have been enabled them to do that. They have it now. But they have it now. And, you know, the people who did the landfill in the 1800s deserve some of the blame. You know, there's a circular structure in Battery Park called Clinton Castle. Now, Clinton Castle used to be in the water. Right. And you just have to walk along a ramp about 150 feet long to get to it. And it was great for tourists in the 1800s. When they built the landfill and built Battery Park around it, they didn't build it high enough. If it had been just 4 feet higher, the subways never would have gotten flooded. 4 feet is all you needed. And 4 feet is kind of minimal. In fact, where your studio was, that's the other street next to it is called Water Street. It's called Water Street because it used to be underwater.
Yeah.
All right? If you go a little bit further up, you walk up Fulton Street, and you finally get to where Manhattan really was. And so
you can see it when the storm, when Sandy happened, and you can look out the window, and you look west on Wall Street, where we were, it had submerged the traffic lights, so we're talking 18 feet. And you look down Wall Street within, you know, easy sight, and there's people
200 yards.
There's people walking around in the water, and it's up to their knees.
Yeah.
And so it's like, wow, what a difference, you know. Because when you walk down Wall Street, you don't think that you're walking down any big elevation.
But you are.
We've supplemented the Hurricane Sandy show pretty well, so thank you, Tom.
Okay, so thanks to you. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be doing this stuff.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thank you, Tom Weissmuller. And thank you, Environment TV.
As usual, the time flies by and we need to wrap it up, but thanks for joining us. You can find the video recording of this interview on our website, www.ecoradio.org, and on The Environment TV's YouTube channel.
Join us next week on Friday, July 1st, to hear why public transit is really good for the environment.
Environment TV is on this Sunday at 11 a.m. on Manhattan Neighborhood Network, Channel 34 for Spectrum customers, or go to www.mnn.org. Charlie Olson's guests are Marilyn Ellie of the Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition, Manager Green of Hudson River Sloop Clearwater, and author and blogger Ted Glick. Subjects include the New Jersey Green Amendment and the recent Walk for Appalachia. There's more information at www.ecoradio.org.
We have information on a variety of environmental topics, such as the Kristen Hemingway Jane's article on ecowatch.com, Bayer appeal to dismiss Roundup weed killer lawsuits rejected by the U.S. Supreme Court, and young victims of climate disasters sue EU states over controversial energy treaty by Olivia Roseanne. Also, Montana Supreme Court denies states' efforts to derail youth climate case as reported on www.ourchildrenstrust.org. Wow, three great news pieces. To listen to this show or any of our past shows again, it's all at www.ecoradio.org. That's www.ecoradio.org.
Grow NYC is again accepting collections of textiles, shoes, accessories, and linens. So if you are holding on to old clothes, not wanting to throw them into a landfill, you can now take them to select green markets. There's more information at www.ecoradio.org.
Also, those of you online, please sign up for our email list on our website, www.ecoradio.org. Those of you on social media, search for Eco-Logic.
Mainstream media is rarely allowed to mention the climate connection to hurricanes, and never in the depth that Eco-Logic and WBAI can and will give you.
WBAI doesn't accept ads or donations from the corporations that muzzle mainstream media, which is part of the reason that you hear us asking for your support so often. We need you for Eco-Logic and WBAI to exist.
And we love to see those BAI buddy pledges. Please join us so we can keep bringing you these unique programs.
Eco-Logic and WBAI continue to offer you important news, information, and entertainment. Radio might seem free, but there are costs. Like everyone, the station has rent to pay. As an employer, has a shoestring payroll to meet. Our listener-supported radio station needs you.
You're used to us sending you to givetowbai.org, but most of our premiums have been moved to their own webpage, ecologic.wbai.org, to choose from our wide variety of premiums. On topics from nuclear disarmament to celebrations of nature, go to ecologic.wbai.org, leave out the www, and donate in the name of your favorite program, Eco-Logic, or call 212-209-2950 and say that you want to be a member or contribute monthly as a BAI buddy. Pledging now during this show really helps Eco-Logic especially.
Right now, we're focusing on the tower rent. The transmitter tower broadcasts our signal so that you hear us. Keep us going. We need to raise thousands of dollars each month for tower rent, office rent, and call center expenses so that you can get your premiums.
The transmitter tower costs $17,000 every month. Office rent is $5,300 a month. And the call center also is a big expense. We owe them $30,000. That's a lot for one person, but together we can do this.
This is your opportunity to help WBAI in a real and direct way. Please support Eco-Logic's efforts for the transmitter tower fund drive. This is how we would sound if we didn't have a transmitter. Let's keep this recovery going. Go to WBAI.org and click on the box with the transmitter tower drawing.
Like so many producers here at BAI, we're volunteers and work hard every week to bring you new information and guests who are at the front lines of many environmental issues. Pledging now during this show really helps Eco-Logic especially.
Thanks to our much appreciated engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Donna Stein. Join us next Friday, July 1st at 2:30 p.m. for public transit for the environment.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So
and the previous program was Eco-Logic, and that is heard Fridays at 2:30 p.m. here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. And I just wanted to share some info with the listening audience, with y'all out there, that we're about to go into, let me see, a special of a co-collaboration with WPFW. Just wanted to get the right info on this because, of course, I don't have the info when I need the info. But anyway, if you appreciate what we bring to the table, programs like Eco-Logic and what Dave was just talking about in regards to hurricanes and the importance of understanding hurricanes, please consider becoming a financial supporter to this radio station by calling 212-209-2950. And as they have mentioned before, we are in dire need of help, financial help from listeners like yourselves, as we are in making attempts to paying the rent for the transmitter as well as paying the rent for the studio here at WBAI. We have fallen behind on both things, 3 months behind at 388 Atlantic Avenue and 2 months behind Four Times Square Transmitter. And we need your help. 212-209-2950 is the number to call to show your support to this radio station. Now, as I was will mention that at 3 p.m. Until 5 p.m., there will be a special co-production of WBAI and WPFW. That will be talking about Roe and reproductive freedom, and that's going to be hosted by Joy of Resistance, Fran Luck. And if you appreciate what we do and what we can do and what we hope to continue to do here at WBAI, please consider becoming a financial supporter to this radio station by calling 212-209-2950 or go to givetowbai.org online. I was speaking to some of the producers here who came, who was on the phone, and asked me about why do I speak the way I speak. Because I feel that the listening audience is owed explanations and need to know when we are doing well as doing not so well. And always the listeners always have our back financially. And so if we tell them what's going on, they will support us. As simple as that. We're in a world that loves to push out fiction. Here we give truth. So, if you appreciate what we do here, 212-209-2950 is the number to call to show your support to this radio station. Help us maintain what we have been doing since 1960. 62 years. We relied on listeners like yourselves. This should not be a change of the narrative. We are telling you what is going on. We are need more now than ever. And all the news reports and everything that has been happening last week in regards to Assange, this week in regards to what is happening with the overturn of Roe v. Wade, WBAI is needed now more than ever. And now I know we have said that in the past before, but emphasis now, now more than ever. And we need to make sure that the rent is paid for the transmitter and make sure that the rent is paid here at 388 Atlantic Avenue so we could continue on doing what we have been doing for so long and before we resort to tin cans and fishing wire. I mean, we will do it if we have to, but, you know, if we can avoid it, we will do that as well. 212-209-2950 is the number to call to show your support to this radio station. We're about to go into this special real soon, very shortly. And which will be a special with a co-production of WPFW. And again, Roe and Reproductive Freedom, and that's going to be hosted by Joy of Resistance, Fran Luck. And again, if you appreciate our efforts on doing what we have been doing for so long, please consider becoming a financial supporter to this radio station. Again, 212-209-2950, or go to give to WBAI.org online. And let's see right here. Things are moving quite fluid here at WBAI as news keep changing, and I'm trying to find out if we have. Okay, just make sure that I press the right button on that one.